Hey guys, Tony here. I wanted to take just a minute to invite you to take part in something that I am very excited about. If you are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, next week I'm going to be in town with my good buddy Edmund Mitchell. We're going to be doing a live podcast event. It's called A Show About Transition. It's going to be part related to his show, The Show with Edmund Mitchell, and part related to what we do here on The Threshold. We're really excited about this live event at Small Brew Pub in Oak Cliff, Texas. And so if you're in the DFW area, wherever you're at, we'd love to have you come in, be a part of that live audience. We've got a link down in the show notes about that. And if you're not able to join us live, we're actually going to have a live stream of the event set up. The event itself has free tickets. The live stream, to make sure everything works right, we had to pay a little bit. And so we're asking people who are participating in that to pay a little bit. But you can get tickets on that or any of the information on the Facebook event. We'd love to have you guys join us virtually. Or if you are in the area, we'd love to have you come down. Join us live. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got some goodies for anybody who comes and joins us live. And we'll also have a lot of Catholic Balm Co. swag on site also. So if you're a fan of Catholic Balm Co., that's great. But I would love to meet some more of our listeners, especially those who are in my hometown of Dallas, Texas. So come on out for A Show About Transitions. You can find it under the Facebook event. You've probably never heard of us down in the show notes. We'll look forward to seeing you guys there. And here's the episode.
To talk to you again.
Oh, mushroom juice. Have you ever drank in mushroom?
I don't like fungus juice.
Have you tried it?
Yes.
And what was your take on it?
I felt dirty.
Welcome to The Threshold, everybody. This is Tony Vicenda along with my good buddy,
Father Colin Parrish.
And we are on our mid-season break still. This is our third Odd Noggin episode out of four that we're going to do, along with I'm going to Texas next week. We're going to record a live show there, which will be kind of our right back before the season episode.
Who's doing the fourth Odd Noggin?
We are tomorrow. I don't know. I'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. I know. I'm just here going out of town. I know. I got it. I'll figure it out.
I haven't written my homily yet.
I'll figure it out without you, or we'll do it on Sunday. Actually, I'm not going out of town anymore next week, y'all. So we hope you enjoy the conversation we're having today about just silly little things that float around in our brain that sometimes get a little deep. This Odd Noggin series is just about that. So today we're going to talk about, can men and women really be just friends? And we're also going to chat a little bit about what's a time we should have trusted our gut and didn't, and what happened because of that. We'll be back right after this to, I don't know, just Mark, roll the intro. Hey, come on in. I really feel like we've reached a place in our culture where religious conversations can seem tense or even taboo. So every week, I invite a different guest to sit down with me to talk about what they believe, what shaped that belief, and why it matters. My name's Tony Vicenda, and this is The Threshold. Welcome back, everybody. Whether you are sitting at home drinking mushroom juice or not, we're really glad to have you here with us. So for the first time ever, I am trying some lion's mane in hot water. I got some earlier, and I have to say, like, it's got a delightful umami flavor, which I think should always be pronounced umami. This mushroom juice is delicious.
I just winced.
Oh, so good. Yeah, I've always been kind of curious about this, but I'm not. So you tried this and you didn't like it?
Yeah, I don't like that stuff. What? It's like, I don't want to talk anymore about it.
I feel like it's drinking the juice. Like, have you ever made a pot roast with, like, potatoes and mushrooms in it with, like, the beef, like, packet of beef broth that you sprinkle in?
Yeah.
It's like drinking a really watered down version of that.
No, that sounds disgusting.
It does, but I find it slightly pleasant.
I'm gonna cash out all over this.
Yeah, I also am drinking a vodka and tonic with lime.
If I didn't have a burial, I'd have to do soon, I would do.
It's probably a good reason to not. So, Father Parrish, this week we are talking about whether or not men and women can be just friends. I think this is a really interesting conversation for the two of us to have, because we have very different lifelong vocations. Mm-hmm. So what do you think? Can men and women?
I'd like you start off first.
Oh, you want me to start off first? You're trying to get me to tip my hand. So I think that men and women can be just friends, but I think in most of Western historical culture and potentially in most of human culture, men really fail to understand the difference between I'm attracted to somebody and I need to have sex with them. Or I feel romantically attracted to them. So, and I think that's historically a very masculine thing, though. I think in modern society, that is, I think feeling a desire or an affinity to someone oftentimes makes people think there must be some sort of deeper romantic correlation to that. And so I think that's why it becomes such a confusing thing. So I think, I remember in middle school, maybe it was freshman year, kind of talking to somebody. Oh, it must have been after that, because it's about something in freshman year. So I remember talking to my freshman year lab roommate and some other folks about the fact that I think men, especially teenage boys, typically have a tendency to consider any woman that they spend any sort of extended time with as a potential romantic partner or mate. Even not necessarily that they're like think they should be or that they have to be, but they consider the option. And I mentioned like, hey, when we were lab partners in ninth grade, I thought about it, but I wasn't going to do anything about it. Her response was, well, good. So that was humbling. But yeah, I think they can be. I just think people get really, really confused around what that means. And I also think that's really more less about what's happened with sex in Western American culture and more about a lack of understanding of what authentic friendship really means.
Yeah, I dance with all those things.
But you have to say more stuff.
No, I know. No, I was just, I'm just trying to set it up in my mind about when I was thinking about it earlier. I think men and women can be just friends. And I think that the reason people don't always experience that can be, you know, one of two things. One, exactly what you just said, is that like attraction to somebody, while it can have romantic or erotic desire in it, right? Doesn't mean that it's simply erotic desire, right? And that I've always found it helpful to be able to kind of parse out, like, you know, what is it that I'm experiencing with, you know, with this person? Mm-hmm. And recognizing that a lot of times my own attractions are based on like things that are just really beautiful experiences, right? Of community and friendship and life together, sharing common interests, to being able to share life together in a way that's very meaningful, where we're walking towards the same destiny, right? Mm-hmm. But, and when there's the element of erotic desire within that, I mean, it's just, I have to be very aware of myself and just acknowledging that, right? Like, in recognizing that the two are not the same, but they're not, but on the other hand, they're also not mutually exclusive. That's the other thing. It's like, having a desire to be friends with somebody and being sexually attracted to them, right, obviously is not mutually exclusive, nor are they the same thing.
Right.
And so that's one thing. I think the other thing that I really kind of am big on is just the fact that, like, when it comes to men and women and being friends, is that you can't control erotic desire. Like that comes up on its own. Right. Like that you can control charity. You can act out of love and charity and self-sacrifice for somebody, right, according to your own will. But you can't generate the feelings of sexual desire, erotic desire for somebody.
Right. Nor can you, even though you can resist them and learn to create temperance in your life. The natural passion of being attracted to somebody is not necessarily something you can immediately control either. We're even perfectly controlled.
Yeah.
We're not perfect people.
And it's at that point where I always say, like, you know, any friendship between, you know, a man and a woman always like has to be accompanied by a clear vision of the other person. Right.
Ooh, say more about that.
Well, it's what I mean two things when I say that. One is that I have to understand what they're like, what they're made for, right? Like that they're made for goodness, mm-hmm. for they're made for lots of life and beauty in their existence, and communion, and that, and like that's what I should primarily care about. And because of that, like I would withhold anything that would get in the way of that necessarily. Yeah. Right. So like, and because of that, I also say that like, because I can't control my erotic passions, right. A friendship with a woman for me, I was always kind of right.
That was just such a funny statement to hear you say, go, keep on going. Go ahead.
Yeah. And, that's all. Just read C.S. Lewis's Four Loves.
Because I'm out of control.
No, because like they arise without my calling.
Right.
But it
means, as Catholics, like that, the word we use when we talk about passions, we talk about these things that arise within us, from within us that we don't have perfect control over. Right.
Yeah. And it's like, and we also believe that like erotic love is a necessary part of loving.
Right. I also want to point out like erotic love in its truest form is not necessarily sexual love. It is stimulating love. It is love that excites us and forms us. Now that there's a sexual element to that, right? But you can experience, this is going to sound, well, I mean, I guess maybe in our society today, not as weird. You can experience stimulating and erotic love around somebody that is not sexual. Like eros is a form of love.
It's, yeah,
it's necessarily implicitly sexual.
It's a desire that is calling you forward to someone, right? Like it's a force, it's a passion that's calling you, like drawing closer to somebody, right? And you want that person within your life, right? And so like, for example, you know, when you hear people say like, oh, that baby's so cute, man, I just want to eat it.
Yeah,
right? It's
creepy.
It's creepy, but it's like oddly,
you know, you get what they're saying, right?
You get what they're saying.
Like you want to squish somebody, or you just like you want to be near them. And it's like, I always think, like for me as a believer, there's always an element at which that's kind of like, that kind of helps me a little bit understand the concept of like, this is going to sound weird, but fear of the Lord or wonder and awe, like the mm-hmm. way we talk about that gift, like this overwhelming and incomprehensible desire to be near or have somebody think well of you.
Yeah.
I think is very rooted in that type of love.
Yeah. And the last thing I was going to say with this is, or the second to last thing was, is that a lot of sacrifice is needed a lot of the time, right? A lot of, you know, if I want to be able to have a true relationship with a person of the opposite sex, regardless of whether they're my spouse or,
they're not going to be your spouse
or not going to be my spouse. Like, I know. Yeah. Anyway, I don't have a double life. But like if they're whoever they are, right, like I need to make sure that I am like basically sacrificing myself in love for them, mm-hmm. out of love, like doing things that are acts of selfless love and that helps me maintain the vision, the clarity of who they are and how I am around them.
Right. Which I think is really important, especially in a day and age when a lot of people, and this is certainly me in high school and as a young adult sometimes, think I'll love that person and treat them well so that they will love me back. And disinterested and properly sacrificial love doesn't concern itself with that. It just cares mm-hmm. for the other person. But I do think, so I think this is really interesting. Like I, as a married man, I have female friends who are not my wife. My wife is my best friend besides Father Colin Parrish.
Hi.
And she may actually be my actual best friend. Maybe she'll listen to this episode. Probably not. But no, she's my best friend. But that friendship and our marriage and all those other things are part of our entire relationship, but not, no one piece of it is the entire whole of it. And I have to continually learn how to love her sacrificially, not just to try to get her to be sweet to me or to do the things that I want as a spouse, because that's using another person, not living sacrificially for them. And the same thing's true in a friendship, just with other different associated
actions and stuff.
Yeah. And so like that's like you have female friends also too.
Yeah, I have female friends who are also not my spouse.
Right.
That's true, but Colin, it needs, hello, Colin, ladies. It needs to go more truly. Anyway, yeah.
So now that we've but, those awkward parts, any last thoughts before we hear what some of our friends
yeah.
have to say about that?
I was just going to say that, like, I also like making the distinction. I kind of did earlier, but like the difference between instinct, right? Instinct and desire, right? So like instinct is sexual, which is good. It's, like, we should be happy that we have the sexual instinct, right? Like, but it's also not the same as desire for connection and communion with somebody, regardless of their sex.
Right.
And so, you know,
and it all gets so, like this is,
it's not like they're always easy to parse out either. I grant.
No, I think we think about it as a modern thing. And I think there are some things in our modern way of being and speaking and approaching the world that impact this, but it is hard. It's hard to separate those things out. It's hard to figure those things out. And you do have to be intentional about doing it, I think. Mm-hmm. So let's hear what some of our friends had to say about this, and we'll be back right after that.
Hi, I'm Devin Handy. I am the producer and co-host of Hellbent Podcast, which is a feminist political podcast. And can men and women just be friends? I think they can be. I think that a romantic relationship is a type of relationship. A friendship is a type of relationship. And I think, especially with friends, the reason you work as friends is because there's chemistry or attraction, or there's something you like or admire about that person. And those feelings can very often be interpreted as romantic feelings, especially if it's a friendship with someone that you are attracted to sexually, a gender that you're attracted to sexually. So I think that that definitely can be part of it. But yes, I think at the end of the day, men and women can absolutely be friends. I have plenty of male friends, and they all enrich my life. And that it's really fun because I get to teach them to be male allies and feminists. And then a time that I wished I had trusted my gut. So I have two dogs and two cats and a baby. So basically I'm running a zoo. And I one of my friends was fostering, they're two pit bulls, they're 80-pound pit bulls, and they are beautiful and wonderful and sleep in my bed. So, you know, it's very chaotic. But one of my friends was fostering a rescue pit bull that I really wanted to adopt, and my husband summarily vetoed because we already have five animals, as we like to say, because we include our son in that. And he was just the cutest, sweetest little pit bull, and we didn't adopt him. And I know it was the right choice, but I still think about him and wonder what our lives would have been like with a third puppy.
All right, I'm Liesl. I'm from White Salmon, Washington, originally, technically incorporated Klickitat County. Now I live in Seattle after a brief stint in Mississippi. And with the question, can men and women really be just friends? First, I'd say I think absolutely they can, if only because I have the lovely privilege of knowing many wonderful men that I am completely unattracted to. So that's, you know, I think that it's good to be mindful of, like, if a relationship is not just a friend relationship, and just be mindful of yourself and all of that and have healthy boundaries. But I definitely think they can. I was also raised with a lot of guys as my closest friends, who I remember meeting other women as I grew older. And they'd be like, oh, well, like, is Johnny cute? You know, because, like, I hung out with my friend Johnny a lot. And I'd be like, I don't know. That's like asking me if my left arm is cute. Like, that's a really strange question. I don't know how to answer, because I think it's entirely possible to have those platonic relationships. The second question, what is a time you wish you had trusted your gut, and why didn't you? When I was teaching in Mississippi, I think in my heart knew I wanted to stay in the South at the end of the 2-year commitment I had made. And I had a long distance boyfriend out here back on the West Coast. I think I knew in my heart I didn't want to come back out here. I felt like the work I was doing there was meaningful. I was loving teaching there. And I even could have, I was thinking about moving to other Southern cities like New Orleans, which I loved. But I came back here because it felt like for me to stay there, I'd be disrupting too many other people's lives. And I didn't want to tell everybody, oh, sorry, I said I was going to come back and now I'm not. Really, I you know, I felt like it would be inconvenient for me to follow what I think in my heart I knew was right for me. And so I didn't do it. So I ended up having a couple years of almost just sort of tail spinning out here where I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I felt directionless. I felt lost because I had had what I knew I should have done. And then I just moved away from it because it seemed hard. So I think that that's a time that, you know, I don't like regret. I don't spend a lot of time in regret because, I can't really change it, but I definitely know that if I have feelings like that again, to listen to them, because I should have at that point.
And we're back.
I think those are some really good points. I think that agreed that some of it was what we said, but I think there was some different takes on it also too. Also the second question we're talking about that they shared a little bit about also, thank you, Lisa and everyone. Was what is a time that you have not trusted your gut and wish you had, and what happened? This is a hard one.
Yeah, I have an immediate one.
Okay, then you go first while I think about mine.
It's when I was in high school, when I was a freshman in high school, I went to an all-boys Catholic high school in downtown Seattle. And my grandpa, who drove this massive white camper top van that looked like an automobile incarnation of Moby Dick. Second time I've mentioned Moby Dick on the Moby van on the podcast.
That's true.
But big part of my life, he wanted to drive me to school, right, and not have me take the bus. And I was embarrassed by him and by the car, and I didn't want to seem awkward and strange because I'm driving up in this big ass camper van or whatever, right? Look weird, be perceived as weird. And so I said, no, I want to do it on my own. Da 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 da. But there is this gut feeling in the back of my head and the back of my chest, or in my stomach, I suppose, if it's gut, but said, hey man, maybe you should just let your grandpa love you. Right. And I said, no. And I was like, so distracting.
I took a picture of Father Parrish.
Oh, not the time. Anyway. Camper top, clean it up. And so I felt really, I realized, you know, after that, I still remember that, like, that I should have just allowed him to take me. And then, granted, I have mercy on myself for it. I mean, I was an awkward freshman, right? Like, afraid of social interactions and judgments or whatever. But nonetheless, it was still on me.
Yeah. I just speak about mine. Well, I guess I did follow my gut in the end then. I'm a very gutty person. I mean, I have tons of them from middle school. Most of them are or in high school. Most of them evolve, especially in high school, around like my own sexual immorality. And when I say that, I mean things that hurt my relationship with other people and with the God I believe in, not necessarily just in the kind of minimalistic right and wrong aspect. Because a lot of my relationships with members of the opposite sex were specifically geared around like, I would like to make out with somebody in right now. I think one of the biggest regrets that I have, where I did not follow my gut, was when I broke up with my wife. we had been dating for a little while, and I had kind of got bumped around a little bit in the last year of high school in a couple different relationships that just really kind of turned my head around the wrong way. People who I really cared about, who obviously really
turned Exorcist style.
who I really thought cared about me, who I really thought I cared about, who didn't necessarily treat me in the way that was charitable. And I don't know that I did for them either. They probably were not healthy relationships. Anyways, I started dating my wife the year after I graduated, and I really had not recovered from a lot of those yet. I probably would have been smarter to do one of two things, either delay dating my wife until I was in a better place. Probably would have been the healthiest way to do it. But I don't regret starting to date my wife. I did break up with her like on Thanksgiving-ish one year. It was like not actually Thanksgiving, but we had done like a Friendsgiving. And I was very sweet to her the entire night. And I was like, you could be very happy with this woman the rest of your life. And so when having had that thought, I then decided at the end of that night to break up with her instead. And I don't know that my gut was telling me that I needed to break up with her. My gut was certainly telling me, like, you've got issues you need to work through. I probably could have done that in a way that would have been less harmful to her. And I think that's kind of my big regret in that area.
That makes sense.
Cause I didn't say like, hey, I'm wounded and hurt and here's what's going on and I just need some time. I said, I think we should just be friends because I'm a jerk. And luckily she did take me back eventually. But I wish I had found a better way to deal with all of that stuff. I wish I had listened to my gut more intentionally and less like kind of just like knee-jerk reaction. Something is wrong, and so I must like abandon ship. Because that wasn't what my gut was telling me to do. My gut was telling me to address the issues that I was actually needing to confront. And so I think those are the two kind of big ones for me. That's the big one for me.
Oh, that makes sense. I get that.
So, all right, so we are going to have an odd noggin next week, and then I'm going to do something fun with somebody who's not Father Parrish while I'm down in Dallas. Maybe I'll do something with my good buddy Edmund in addition to our live show. By the way, we do have a live show coming up, live for me, not live for Father Parrish, in Dallas, Texas at Small Brew Pub. If you're listening and you're in the North Dallas, South Oklahoma, Western Louisiana area, and you want to come out to Oak Cliff that night, it's April 17th at 7 p.m. at Small Brew. The details will be down in the show notes. It's a free show. We would absolutely love to have you come out and be a part of that evening. My friend Edmund, who runs a show with Edmund Mitchell, is going to be doing that with me. So it's a two-part kind of variety underground Catholic / not Catholic podcast experience. So if you want to come out, see me and my wife hang out, we'd love to see you there that evening. You can find more details about that in the show notes. We also are going to be looking at some live shows in Seattle and some other areas in the near future. Father Parrish may or may not come to some of those. We'll see what his schedule looks like in the future. But if you're interested in being part of a live show,
what did our friends say about that show?
What?
Pants optional?
Pants optional. All live shows are pants optional. You just probably should wear pants.
Yeah.
So please come out for that if you are able. Also, please, if you are willing, like, subscribe, leave a review on Facebook. It helps us do better, get better. Next week, we're going to be talking about the cute or weird or whatever, the most striking thing a child has ever said to you or done to you. And we're also going to be talking about how do you feel about silence. We are chugging away on season two stuff. I'm very excited about some of the interviews I've been able to do lately. We're about to finish up our two-part series on feminism and religiosity and kind of how those things all intersect with each other. I'm really excited about that one, along with a couple other pieces that we're doing, interviewing my good buddy Robert Fiducia, Gene Monarcelli, some other great folks out there also too. So season two is going to start in early May, and we are looking forward to getting back into the regular rotation along with some new co-hosts. But until that time, get out there, FNF ability, and talk about what really matters.